for all of us. And the Lord spoke some things to me, and some I need to grasp a little bit more and probably be in a sermon in a couple months. But what was said to me was this: you didn't come from your mother. You came through your mother because you came from God. Every one of you, whatever your story, whatever your background, whatever decisions you've made, right decisions or wrong decisions, I want you to understand right now what God is saying is that His principles are yea and amen for today. You and I can walk into our destiny beginning today. If you don't understand that, if you have said, I can't do that, and there's no way I can live my life, you know, in that area. I can't do that. It's hard. I've been raised by parents that, some of you are saying, that ruined your life. Again, what God is saying, you did not come from your mother. You came through your mother because you came from God. And He had a plan for you. Ephesians chapter 1, before the foundation of this earth, He had a plan for you. He has set the standard in His kingdom for you and I to walk in. So I want us, before we are seated, I want us to understand something. That we need to begin to realize how great we are in God's kingdom. The ability, the absolute ability, the foundation is set for every one of us. Not one of you have been forgotten. God is not an abuser of His people. He is a lover of His people. And in this breakthrough of your destiny, what God is doing now is He is restoring. Now, in this world, you're going to find tribulation, but I've always seen, learned, read in Scripture, history, is that when God is beginning to move in a mighty way, there is an opposite of that. And a deception of words. You have heard so many words that are contrary to what God says in Scripture. Some of us have believed. Maybe you're switching around and you clicked on your computer and we came up. You got up late because you didn't set your clock forward. But the reality is, you're here, and God is speaking to you. God is speaking to every one of us. No matter how long you've known the Lord, and you've had this great, precious relationship with God that Pastor Ryan was talking about, we have to understand, God is doing something unique today. Today, in our lives and in His kingdom. And we're learning the principles of the kingdom to begin to rely on what God says, not what you think, not what your emotions have said to you through the years. Depression, oppression, attacks of the enemy, sickness, disease that's running rampant in your family. You see family members that are rejecting Christ. And you wonder, why? What do I need to do? What God is saying, let me say it again. You did not come from your mother. You came through your mother. Thank God for moms. You came from God. And you are absolutely exactly where God wants you to be right now in your life. And it is a place of hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and understanding the revelation of who you are that will absolutely transform what has been happening in your life. A mentor, spiritual father of mine, a man that I love dearly, Pastor Bradford used to always say, today is the first day of the rest of your life. What are you going to choose to believe? You're from God with a distinct purpose on this earth. So let's open up our hearts. I want to pray for you, and then we're going to dive into the Word. In Jesus' name, sickness, leave our bodies. We receive the blessing of the stripes upon Jesus' back that was given to him for us. And we are whole in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Anyone listening that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Scripture tells us you have become born again. You're born again. And now you are in the steps of living out your destiny with God instead of before without God. In Jesus' name, I proclaim an anointing over this place that it has never experienced before. That there's such a reality of who we are in Christ that we will walk through the situation instead of standing back and wondering why. In Jesus' name, we will reach our destinies. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, it's almost 11 o'clock, and those that forgot to put their clocks ahead, they will be arriving. So scoot over and let them sit down when they come in. It's funny, one of our young moms in our church communicated with me this morning, and she said she was talking with her young child regarding tithing and offering. And she says, why do you think God wants us to give offerings? And he said, because God wants some money. Now, that's cute. I think that's cute. You know why it's cute? It's because that opens a door for mom and dad to be able to really begin to share with their children the reality and the truth of tithes and offerings. We're talking about a generous life that changes everything. And last week, we began part one of part two of the testing of the heart. But I want to read this to you. I heard a story about a little frog that was born at the bottom of a well. This frog and his family lived down there, and they were very happy. They were so content to swim and splash around all day in their water. He thought, life is so good. We got all this water in the world to ourselves. As he got a little older, he noticed the light at the top of the well. And with great caution, he looked over the edge, and the first thing he saw was a pond. He couldn't believe it. It was thousands of times more water than what he had and his family had. He jumped out of the well excited and started hopping until he came to a lake. And he stood in amazement. He had no words. He hopped a little more and came to an ocean. And as far as he could see was water. He began to realize how limited his vision had been. He thought he had it all. But all he really had was a drop in a bucket compared to what was out there for him to enjoy. Church family, we need to realize God's dream for you and me is a lot bigger than we actually think. We need to begin to understand that he set these principles in his kingdom so we could attain everything that he had promised in our destiny, in our lives. When you and I became born again, we became children of God, sons and daughters of God. We have found that God established a test for all of us. And it's every time you get paid. Bottom line is called the tithe. 10% of the gross income is first, and it goes to his house, the church. God didn't establish it to support the church, but to build faith in your heart and to get you in a place to bless you. That's the reasoning for the tithe. Malachi 3, the book that many of us would want to just pass over when we're reading through the Bible. But let's read this, verse 6 through 9. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances or normal lifestyle. We talked about this last week. And have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? And then God says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And I'm going to go over these specific points again, because we have been deceived, we've been lied to of what this passage is saying. And I'm going to show you the heart of God regarding tithes and offerings. The Lord of hosts is telling us, I have a biblical economic system, and it puts you and me into his blessings that he has already promised. And it is a choice that we have to make. That's why he tests us. Failing the test he has given regarding the tithe puts us into a world economic system that's cursed. God doesn't put us there in a curse. God doesn't curse us, but it comes voluntarily, choosing not to live our life in the principles of the kingdom of God regarding tithe and offering. Tithing, we learn, opens up the avenue for the storehouse. Now, let's just make a statement about the storehouse. We'll talk about this in a few weeks. But what it is, it's freeing up the word in feeding the church. So when we are tithing to the church, it frees up the word of God. It is a principle that when you give, it's given back to you. And the very reason why we come to church is to be fed the word of God. And so as we understand the principle of the tithe goes the feeding of the flock. As we understand and are passionate about the tithe, then the word of God is receptive as well as our passion is of receiving the word of God. It opens the door of the storehouse. The storehouse also is a place where there's more than enough. Many of us have desired to have savings account, and it seems like at the end of the month that there's no money put into the savings account. That when God says that if all of us will tithe, then there will be a more than enough of monies to be able to put into the storehouse or the saving in our lives through money, through the Word of God, and through our personal savings account. And God is saying this, I want to bless you more than enough. And we have been so destroyed, I'll use the word, because when the church talks about money, when the church talks about offerings, we want to shut the church out regarding that. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 and 2, we concluded last week with this scripture, says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Unreasonable is literally talking about those who will take the word and they'll construe it to the point where it matches their emotion or their feeling. And they'll say things. So right away, when a man of God gets up and talks about, but understand, when I'm talking about this, I am telling you as a pastor, as I equip you for the work of your ministry in many different facets of life, I am letting you know what God says. And we have to learn to receive that word as the word has said. And so did you know the average of a church that tithes today is between 23 and 27%. You exceed that, Valley Community. We tithe between 40 and 45%. But I would like to say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah if we tithe 100%. Because what God's promises is then there would be, now we're doing good. I'm not teaching on this because we need more money. That we're being very smart with the finances of the church. We report every month. We've talked about that last week. But the reality is, can you imagine if the church tithed 100% what we could do for the kingdom of God? So let's not just imagine it. Let's go ahead and do it. Now, again, we are not preaching this topic because we need more for our sake. I am preaching this for your sake. Verse 10 says, bring all the tithe that there may be food in my house. It's speaking about spiritual food. Verse 10, and try, the word try is a word used in the Hebrew to prove metal or to try metal to see if the metal is pure or not. So basically, this is saying try, it could say prove me or test me, God is saying. Tithe and see if I'm pure, God is saying. Now, my question to you, do you think God is pure? Says, tithe and see I'm pure, says the Lord of hosts. I will do what I say I will do. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let me ask you, verse 10, that bottom line again, we have to understand who is talking here. It's God through Malachi. It's God talking. The depth of verse 10 is saying, I dare you to give me 10%. By the way, Scripture says, let every word be established by two or three witnesses. In 46 years of ministry, this is the testimonies I hear mostly regarding the tithe. First, I'm not here to condemn anyone, but to lead you to the truth. And what people say is I'm trying to do this, and your brothers or sisters are bringing things to you and saying you need to tithe because you've been prayed for, and you're saying I'm struggling in areas of my life. It's not just money. And so they're saying, I'm not here to condemn you, but I want to lead you to the truth. So tithers tell me, Pastor, I'm so blessed. Non-tithers say, I can't afford to tithe. There is not one person that will be able to tithe until they tithe. I hope you just understood what I said. There is not one person that can afford to tithe until they tithe. Because I promise you, many people that have begun to tithe couldn't afford it. Because they were living with the world's economic system. Here's the world's economic system. You want to go to school? Borrow from me. You want to get a car? Borrow from me. So you can pay me. And God says, you want to be blessed? Not just car, house, land. You want to be blessed with your family? You want to be blessed in your marriage? You want to be blessed in your health? Test me and see that I'm pure. Tithe. And we have to get to a place in our life that, and I know, because it's a tendency of, I'm bad. You're not bad if you don't tithe. What God is saying, what is happening, is that you are placing yourself in the world's economic system. 60% of people today are going paycheck to paycheck. And I would like to ask those 60% of people, are they tithers? Consistent tithers. Tithers are under an economic system that's controlled by God. You remember the story in the Old Testament? God brought manna. God brought quail. God brought water. God can do the same thing in our life if we're in His economic system. Non-tithers are under an economic system that are controlled by the enemy. As soon as you want to tithe, your washing machine's going to break too. As soon as you even think of tithing, something's going to happen. Because you are controlled, not because you're a bad person. You love Jesus all your heart. You're going to heaven. You're a Christian. You've led people to the Lord. You serve in church. You're watching online. And you struggled. And some of you made decisions even not to go to church anymore because the pastor always talks about money. See, that's the enemy coming at you the moment something that would free you up is talked about, that what you do is you run from it because your mindset is, watch this, under this curse of a world economic system, that you are a victim instead of a conqueror. And so what I'm doing now is I'm bringing, because I'm spending a lot of time detailing this, I'm trying to bring us to the level of the scale so that your mindset, your thinking, and your thoughts would now begin to press on the scale on God's side. And then what you will do is you'll begin to place your worth and everything you are on God's side. Because now you begin, because you chose tithe, you begin to transform into God's economic system. Verse 10 again. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Come on, God. Test me. I'll find room, right? And that's all our hearts. So don't look at me so pious. That, oh, no, I'm just a lowly Christian. I just have, like the little frog, I have my little water, little well. No, God's got greater things for you. And maybe all your life, maybe your spouse, maybe stuff has gone on that just brought you into this place because you were depending on the world economic system. Verse 11, and the word and means kind of like if you call right now, and God, I'm ready. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now, would it be all right with you if God rebuked the devourer for your sake? Watch this. Verse 11 tells me, instead of me standing in a room shouting at the devil, that God said to you, okay, son, daughter, be quiet. I got this. How many of us have spent hours and hours in prayer shouting at the devil, and it seems like there's no change? I want to tell you, it's because we haven't released God to rebuke the devourer in our lives. I enjoy at times, now there are times, because Scripture tells us to do so, I enjoy at times taking authority against the enemy. But you know, there are times that I'm facing situations in my life, and because of my personality, I'm a protector. I'm one that's going to take care of this right now. I'm going to take care of it yesterday. My timing is this. If I'm 15 minutes early, I'm late. And that's my personality. That's what God did to me, if you want to call it that way. But the reality is, there are times that all Hades is breaking loose, and all of a sudden my spirit says, just be quiet. He's got this. And I continue to do what God's called me to do. A lot of people will look at people like myself, and they will look at, you know, maybe the car that I drive, and because I try 99.9% of the time have my car clean, so it looks good. I wax my car. It's sharp, but there's a dent in it. I will do my best to get that dent out of there. All right? Why is that? Because I'm taking care of what God's given me, not to look good. But the reality that is my personality, and the thing is, my first instinct is to, something happens, take care of it. But I've learned through the years, being a tither, God's got this. And through the midst of physical, spiritual things that have gone on, I shut my mouth. Because I'd rather have God rebuke the enemy than me. He's given me the authority in Jesus' name. But it's kind of like, you know, a bully comes to your house to bully you and daddy walks outside. And the little child stops. That's in the spirit realm. When the enemy comes after you, I want you to understand, when you are a tither, you have opened yourself up to the kingdom reality of God's protection. Now, I didn't say that God doesn't protect people that don't tithe, because Scripture says it's there, that God is a gracious and loving God. And we always go back to bad or good, bad or good. You know, a real good Christian or not so good Christian, just like, you know, the world now is trying to separate us to good Christians, to Christian nationalists. And that we're too extreme. Let me tell you, I am very extreme believing the Word of God. And if the Word of God says it, I believe it. No matter what anybody says. Are you with me? Okay, so let's go on with this. And let's begin to unfurl what I want to bring to you today regarding what Malachi is saying. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now, the fruit of the ground is your income of today, all right? And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, this passage tells me tithing removes the curse, rebukes the devourer, and restores a blessing. Three things: removes the curse, rebukes the devourer, and restores the blessing. So here's a problem. It's in the Old Testament. We covered this last week. And a few verses in the New Testament. But it's a test throughout the Word of God. Most people say they don't tithe because it's in the Old Testament, it's a law. God is actually testing your heart. It's about the test of your heart. It is not about how much money, all the different things, because the woman with the two mites, God said, she will be so blessed, the world will talk about her forever. That gave two mites. It's not about the, watch this, the amount that you can give, but it's about 10%. It's a test. So if you make $100, it's $10. If you make $1,000, it's $100. If you make $10,000, it's $1,000. You figured out what it is in when you get paid. So God is testing our hearts with this. So when people stand with their hands raised saying, Lord, I'll give you everything. I'll give you 100%, God. God's just asking for 10%. Now, I used this illustration, I think it was 5 years ago. Did you know that the number 10 is the number of testing? Watch this in the Word of God. You say, it's only the Old Testament. No, it's the Old Testament. It's before the law. It's after the law. And it's a New Testament. How many times did God test Pharaoh's heart? 10, the plagues. How many commandments are there? 10. I want you to know there's a pattern here. Okay? How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? 10 times. You find that in Numbers 14. How many times were Jacob's wages changed? 10 times. How many days was Daniel tested? 10 times. How many virgins were tested? 10, Matthew 25. How many days of testing are mentioned in Revelation chapter 2? 10. Last question, how many disciples were there? 12. Very good, you're quick. I'm testing you, right? Okay. So tithing is a test. Tithing is a test. It's foolish to believe because tithing was in the law, it's not a principle of a Christian walk. Because it's been a principle from the garden, and it will be until Jesus returns. See, this is kind of the mindset that people get. If lying is bad under the law, then now it's good. If we have a mindset, it's only in the law, then if lying is bad in the law, then now it's got to be good. Because if tithing was a law, now it's not the law, we're by grace, so then we don't tithe, all right? So if tithing is good under the law, now it's bad. That's foolishness. Tithing was 2,500 years before the law. So the first thing we've learned here is tithing is a test. The second thing that I want you to learn is tithing is biblical. Very important you understand that. Most people don't believe it's biblical. There are 41 verses that speak of tithing. Genesis 14:18 says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the God Most High. Now Melchizedek here in the scripture in Genesis represents Jesus. Bread and wine was the first representation of communion. What does communion represent? The blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And Salem, the word Salem represents peace. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Now, this is Jesus blessing them. Verse 20, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tithe of all. He gave, Abraham gave a tithe of all. This is 500 years before the law. Galatians 3 says Abraham is our spiritual father. He's our mentor. He's to teach us. He teaches us lifestyle. All right, Abraham, our spiritual father, tithed to Jesus. Genesis 28, verse 22, is 420 years before the law. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth to you. This is Jacob tithing 420 years before the law. So let me tell you this. Murder is wrong in the law, correct? Murder was wrong 2,500 years before the law when Abel was killed. Tithing is right. Tithing is of God. Leviticus 27:30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So let me just show you what this is saying. All right, when it's talking about the tithe, it's talking basically about everything we tithe on. And in the Hebrew, actually says belongs to the Lord, is holy to the Lord, belongs to the Lord. Holy means set apart to the Lord. God in his economy set a part of the first 10% to him. In God's economic system, he says, I want you to believe that your 90% will go further than your 100%. Deuteronomy 26:1. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it. Now, listen to this. This is your inheritance and you possess it means basically becoming a Christian. So it is a lifestyle of normal lifestyle of a believer, of a Christian, to tithe. Verse 2, that you take some of the first, speaks of the tithe, of all the produce of the ground, in other words, the first of your income, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, or from the job that God gave you, and put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. You know where God chooses to make himself abide? The church. You're the church. God abides here as we gather as believers. That's why it's so important that we come together as believers to listen to the Word of God. That when we come together, God absolutely overwhelms us with this absolute transformation. Deuteronomy 26:13. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture because it's in a lot of scripture. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. Notice this. When you do this and you choose to tithe, this is what you do. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. It speaks of the pastor, the fatherless, and the widow. How the church functions, teaching the word, bringing grace to all. In other words, as you do that, then the church turns around and blesses with the word of God that fulfills all those three areas of blessing the growth of the body of Christ. Wherever situation you are in, whatever situation that has happened in your past, that what happens when the church aligns themselves with the tithe, then every situation of people's lives can be transformed. And what God does is he moves upon your behalf by teaching of the Word of God. That's what Scripture says. Scripture is bringing us to the principle, not a law. Scripture is bringing us to a principle of normal lifestyle instead of churchendom or religion. How the church functions is we teach the word, bringing grace to all. Now, verses 13, 14, and 15 there, it says you step in kingdom blessings when you tithe in righteousness. Now, here it is. It's the only time you can ask God to bless you. According to Scripture, I know this sounds hard, but it's the only time you can ask God to bless you is that you remove the Lord's holy tithe from your house and take it to God's house. Very strong statement there. But we have to understand, people always ask the reasoning, why? How come this is going on? Or, I've tried this. See, remember, trying is not a heart issue. It's not a heart thing. Trying is, I'm going to see if it works. It's not of the heart. It's of the mind. It's of the flesh. Because let me tell you, when you decide to move into the tithe principle, you are having to tell your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, sit down now, because not that you've been bad, but you have been in a curse economic system. And that economic system is telling you, this is foolishness, this is stupid, and you doing that, why would you give to that church down the street? Why would you do that? And so in a lot of instances, because if you would read the news, read some blogs, different things, you will find churches, once in a while, a church will abuse the tithe and will do something wrong. All right? Well, let me tell you, in your neighborhood, you might have someone, a family that you love dearly and known a long time, they did something wrong in your neighborhood. So does that mean all of you are wrong? See, there are a lot of churches that are absolutely walking in confidence of doing things right the same way that we are. You talk to our church council, you talk to our leadership, you talk to our staff, you will see, you talk to Foursquare, our organization, you will see reporting is there, every line is set up, it's reported, everything is done in line, and we are moving upon some amazing things in our church. Why? Because 40 to 45% of us are tithing. But I want to tell you, I think we could do more when we get to 100%. Verse 13, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So if Jesus said you ought to tithe, would you tithe? See, right now, tithers can look up to the heavens and say, God, move upon our behalf. Bless me according to your word. And it's a done deal. You know, I've been in discussion with the staff and some of the staff and some leaders and a spiritual father and some mentors of mine. And I am a type of person that, you know, a lot of times I even told them, I said, you know, when I give personal instances or examples, at times I gave, I was in this church and it was about the second year I was back. God was blessing. God was moving. God was doing some things, bringing healing and restoration. So I brought up how we move in our lives of blessing people and doing that. And so I began to give an illustration of what I did or what Terry and I did. And when I first got into my office, someone walked real fast to my office and said, "Pastor, I just want to tell you, you're just so full of pride." And I'm going, "Pride? What? Because you're telling us all that you're doing." I said, "It's an example." You know, and that really got me personally, like, well, maybe I just need to shut up and not say anything of that. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be very straight with you. And this is not bragging. This is bragging on the kingdom principle of tithe. And watch this, and God's economic system. I have, through all these years, Terry and I, when I say I, it's always Terry and I, is that we have, through us, been able to funnel not church money, excess money outside church money from missions, you name it, been able to funnel over $2 million to ministry and to touch lives for Jesus Christ. Through the giving of many individuals outside the church and even inside the church, that we have seen over 50 churches being planted because of this. You, Valley Community, because of your offerings, have helped us plant many churches. We have done things. We have developed things. And I want to tell you, that is kingdom reality because I believe and walk in kingdom reality. Doesn't mean I don't face tribulation. I do. But we have to get to the place of understanding is that we rejoice in kingdom blessings. When you get blessed, I rejoice with you. I jump up and down if you get a new car. I jump up and down to get a new job. I jump up and down to get a new place, a new apartment. Amen, a new guitar, new golf clubs, whatever. I rejoice with you. Matthew 23:23 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, religious hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." A lot of times people take that scripture, see, it's about what you do. No, what he's saying is, you just focus on this to make yourself look good. But you got to understand the tithe and giving is a principle for everything. It's not just this thing. Justice and mercy and faith, you neglected these. The point Jesus was making, you tithe on everything. You tithe when you get a birthday gift. Someone gives you $20 in a card, you tithe on that. You sell a house, you tithe on what you make on that. The end of the verse says, don't leave anything undone. Okay, I'm going to pause for a second. And I'm going to ask this question. And I really want to ask this question. Are you still with me right now? I pray you're not shutting me out because it breaks my heart when I work with people that are struggling and all kinds of stuff are going on and they're wondering why. And, you know, they're not asking me the why to get an answer. They're asking me because they just want to vent. And I shut down. And one of the first questions I will ask people who really want to know, are you a tither? And when they say, well, no, I've tried that, then I'm able to talk with them in a very gracious, loving, not you're a bad person, you know, get out of my office, you know, you're a bad person. No. Because many of us have been brought up in a religious society. And we need to be brought up in a kingdom society, the kingdom of God. We need to teach our children. That was cute with our young mom, but then she communicated back and said, well, it starts now. Well, it's going to take a month, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years to teach their children kingdom realities, the principles of the tithe and the principles of the Christian life. Here's the last thing, and we'll finish with this. Tithing is personal. Tithing is a test, tithing is biblical, and tithing is personal. It's personal to God as well as you, too. If God gives you a talent, he gives you a job, then he says, each month when I give you the money from all that, take it to my bride, the church, and give 10%. So the question is, who will God give the job? Who will God give the gifts to? Who will God give the money to? The person that takes care of his bride. Okay, let me just give you this illustration. If I was going out of town for 6 months, I'm not. I go out of town for 6 months because someone will go out and say, you know, pastor's leaving for 6 months. I'm not. If I go out of town for 6 months and then I go to three different people and I give them a certain amount of money and I tell them each first of the month, will you give my wife 10% of the money I gave you? Knowing that the three people, the 10%, will take care of my wife perfectly. But you can keep the other 90%. Every one of you would say, done deal. But 3 months later, after I've talked to Terry for a while, she didn't want to tell me anything. Finally, she says, honey, I need to tell you something, but so-and-so hasn't given me the 10%. Do you think that I would give that person money again? No, because I couldn't trust them with the 10%, so I'm not going to give them more. I will find someone that I could trust. That's kingdom reality. That's the blessings of God. When we tithe, we open up the windows of heaven for all of heaven to come onto this earth, our earth, your earth. Make it personal. Understand this. I make it personal with God. Well, I told you that, you know, one time I was paying bills and I do everything digital except tithe. And I write a check because I love writing the check to God. Here, God, it's yours. I'm returning what's yours. And it just brings joy every time I do it. And I drove all the way here to write out the check, put it in a box, and then I went home and digitally paid all the other bills because God was first. It's personal to me. And when I get that report, it's not the report, look what I've done, look how much I gave. No, when I get that report, it's joyous. I set it before me. I did it last week. I was doing my taxes, all right? I set it before me, and I said, thank you, God, that I could bless your bride, that you could trust me in what I gave. See, church, it's got to be personal. It can't be give and find out what someone's doing with it. If I gave you money for my wife and you didn't give the 10% because you thought, Terry went and got her fingers done 2 weeks in a row. She's wasting the money. Why give the money? Right? I saw some of you husbands look at your wives, but anyways. So if I went on that trip, I would make sure that there are people that I gave the money that I could really trust. And that's the kingdom reality. God doesn't waste money. God doesn't waste things. He has a purpose for everything. So here's another thing that people get all messed up. How could God say you're robbing him when he owns it all? How could God say you're robbing him when he owns it all? He owns it anyways. Watch the answer that I give you. You're not robbing God of money because he has it all. You're robbing him of the opportunity to bless you. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns all the gold and silver. God has it all. God doesn't change either. He is still merciful. He's still gracious. Some of you say, well, you know, I haven't tithed and I'm doing pretty good. God is merciful. But God wants you to realize there's so much more and it has greater purpose. It's kind of the same principle. I'm going to bring this out. The Holy Spirit just really showed me last Monday to bring this out. I do a lot of premarital counseling, biblical advice, before I do marriages. And I talk to them about that cuss word of today, the word submission, and what the word really means. It means come under, sub, a mission. And when you are getting married, in order for you to come in agreement, because that's what marriage, you know, marriage is created for, agreement in God's word. You know, by the way, again, you've heard it from me before, marriage was not created for happiness. Marriage was created for agreement, because when you agree, then happiness resides. And so, how can you come under submission, male, female, both, co-equal, God makes you co-equal, is you have to have a mission. If you don't have a mission, you can't be in agreement. You can't come under something. And submission never works. It becomes slavery then. And it's the same thing with Scripture. The principles of God is this. He makes it so easy. He says, return 10%. And test me that I will bless you so abundantly with the 90% that you won't be able to contain it. You know what you'll do? You'll have to give more. Not just to the church. You return your tithe and they bring offerings. You give to missionaries, all the different things that we do here. But you give to your neighbor. You help someone. You give with your giftings. You go help someone clean their house when they're sick. Whatever it is, you become that person that is a gracious, generous giver, a generous heart. And so when we do that and making it personal, God makes it personal. He wants you to understand it breaks his heart because you rob him of the opportunity to open the windows of heaven and rebuke the devourer for your sake to bless you. That's kingdom economics. Return to me what's mine. It's holy, 10%. And watch me. I will open the doors for you in every area of your life. Shall we stand? Praise God. I can just imagine that little one I told you about, the young mom. I love this boy. I mean, both their children. But I could just see him, just with his, because he's a brainiac, you know. He's one of those kids that he's his age. You know, I can't remember, 5 or 6, but he's that age, and he's about as smart as a 30-year-old, you know. And I could just see him just saying, because God wants money. Okay. But we know better. Do not rob God. Start today. Start today. Go out in the foyer, get online with and give digitally. Or if you have your checkbook, you write it. And I'm not saying because we need the money. I'm saying is you need to start. Because when you do, and it's not just try, it becomes personal. And you will see amazing. amazing blessings of God happen. I've seen it in my life, and probably in this series, I'll share a few more things with you, what God has done in my life and Terry's life. Not because of how much money the two mites the woman gave, how much money we gave. It's because of the heart. God tested our heart, and we passed the test. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Overwhelm us with the joy of the Lord and understanding the principles of God. Blessings upon each person in this house. And now, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you'll become born again. And then your journey begins in this blessed life of being a son or a daughter of God. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.